should be coming. I hope he's coming.
Maybe we could take things out of order. We could go to a lecture of the vice chair or others. Okay, so we'll just do. There he is.
Here he is. All right.
Meeting is called to order.
It's making me sweat. They just got here, too.
That's lame on construction, but that was really good.
Was it the elevator?
Yeah.
You had to climb over the tape. You did not answer tape.
Felt like an ant.
Oh. Where are you?
Where are you locked?
Citizen number English.
Here.
Citizen number Russell.
Here.
Council member Terrazas.
Here.
And council member Story.
Here. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimously. And any approval of the minutes for October 30th? Motion?
I'll abstain.
Okay, sometimes.
Weren't you here?
Yeah.
You were?
I know you had it in your bed.
Oh.
I'll second. Passes unanimously, I hope.
Oh, pass it, Councilor. Sorry.
Do you want to start with staff reports?
For the record, the oral communications.
For the record, there is no one here for oral communications.
So, October 2012 financials. The month of October was a decent month. 12,000 to bid. That's a good thing. The year-to-date profit and loss for the month is a profit. Year-to-date through July through October is a total of $318,000 year-to-date. So, had a good first 4 months of the year. Revenues are just on pace with budget targets, so that's certainly good that we want to be on pace with that. We're slightly smidgen ahead of smidgen of correct technical word.
Financial
0.2% ahead of budget on revenue, so the revenues are doing okay.
What page are you looking at, Mark? This,
I'm sorry, my apologies.
That's
page 15 of the packet is the dashboard report.
Okay.
I thought I'd start just with the summary. And the board's already seen
this
information.
Although we did fix the current assets
yes.
versus current liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Sales tax is proving to be the strong indicator. It's got indications of being better than we had hoped, so that's a good sign for the year ahead. And I think that's a general feeling throughout the area that sales tax is really picking up a different indicator. Our costs are under budget. We've had conversations about whether that's, how do you look at that? From my perspective, it's good to be under budget. But from another perspective, are you achieving your ends of providing operations and services? Our cash got really strong in October. We jumped up $1 million in cash. And what that's reflective of is getting our October money early from a cash flow perspective. So typically, the county gives us about $1 million a month sales tax and their maintenance of effort, not there, but the maintenance of effort share in the county, about $1 million a month. And in October, we've got September and October just being. Typically, they're about 3 or 4 weeks behind,
mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, they gave us the October money during October. It's a good thing. That's where it's supposed to be, but that's not a negative if they're a few weeks behind. But typically, it's a month lag. So we had a kind of a momentary thing. Extra cash in October. So what we'll see is in November that I'll drop back down again and we're spitting without that $1 million coming in.
We also have an extra paycheck in November.
True.
There's three paychecks in November. So it's one of the two times a year that we get an extra paycheck, so there'll be an extra big hit.
So we shouldn't go spend the money quite.
Correct. Yeah. Your current ratio that we did fix, but I'm just looking at the snapshot at the corner, it's at 17.3. Really incredibly strong position, again, from a perspective of can we pay off our credit card debt? Do we have enough money to pay the debt that's right in front of us? You have 17 times that, so from an operations standpoint, you're in really good physical shape. Your current
questions?
Yes. One of them, you know, looking at the expenditures on page 12, we're a couple of percent under on the bottom line, the joint, it's called the Library Joint Powers Authority line at the bottom of that page.
Yes, that's the payroll.
That's the payroll. And are we under because of timing issues, or are we under because we're understaffed relative to what we thought we ought to be?
Well, we do have some salary savings from the IT manager position being open, and we are spending it in some other areas in consulting, but we would be saving it in personnel, and it's a pretty hefty salary that we're saving there. I think while we're, you know, 33% of the year, you know, that extra pay, you know, the extra paycheck in November.
That's why I asked about timing.
So there's that timing piece.
Is it just an aberration or?
Yeah, I think it's.
My sense, and I could be off, is that people, staff people, are still feeling stretched pretty hard. And, so if we're not providing staffing where we have budget to provide staffing, I definitely think we're not doing that.
Well,
but if that's not the answer, then.
Yeah, the staffing issue is a complicated one, because once you do that, you're talking about structural costs that are going to continue. So it's what I hope to do is January, we're 1 year into the service model. We've got a number of things I think we need to be looking at. Again, what's working, what isn't, what needs tweaking. We have the IT strategic plan coming up, which is going to do some staffing recommendations. I know we need to fill the one position. My guess is there's going to be recommendation for additional staff there. I don't know how much. Got some other places where we've seen some pressure points, so we'll be presenting that for next fiscal year. Traditionally, we don't make those kinds of changes mid-year unless there's, you know, then we'll have a better, be farther into the recovery as well, and maybe have a better sense of where things are going. So staff feel stressed. There's also there's a certain amount of reality is starting to hit that this is the model, and I know that there are staff that have expressed the feeling that we would go back the way it was. We just held out long enough. So I think there's a certain amount of, we haven't quite reached acceptance by everybody yet. Many have. I mean, it's a real mixed thing, but we're really just 1 year in, and that's, in the scheme of things, really not very long for this kind of major change.
Okay.
So we are looking at it. We will come back as part of next year's budget.
Okay. Well, if there's critical issues before we get to the end of the fiscal year, though, I think we ought to hear about them so that, you know, we have the opportunity to just make a decision about whether we're trying to do something about it.
I don't know of anything that's critical right now. I'd say if I had to, anything would be critical would be IT, and we just need to hang in there until the plan is done.
Okay.
Sam?
Thank you, David. Along those same lines, though, what I noticed is that what part of staffing is the most underspent is the regular part-time. It's at only 23%. And that difference would be, it's almost like 120,000, maybe 25,000. Are we kind of understaffed, or, I mean, we certainly seem to be understanding with the regular part-time positions? So.
You know, when we built this budget, it was really, we were kind of betwixt and between, because we couldn't, it was really hard for payroll to predict, because we had no experience in the new model, and they tend to base it on the previous year's experience, and we didn't have that. So we were kind of taking a guess at, you know, yes, we knew how many people we had, we knew how much they make, but benefits change depending on who the individuals are, because some individuals may take family, which costs more, and some may not. So I think some of it is just trying to, we weren't quite sure the numbers. I mean, you were just starting, so you weren't really in on it. Do you remember anything on the payroll? I remember it being just really hard to...
It's really hard to work, yeah. Especially since we didn't know what the full model would look like. And then I don't know, some of it has to do with the projections for the beginning of the year.
Right.
Versus what the changes, the little bit of staffing changes we made in the last couple months. We moved some people more into the full-time category versus the part-time category. So that could be some of it, too.
That's true. That's right. I forgot about that. When we did the budget, a lot more people were part-time. When we did the thing when we added the hours in September, a number of people moved up to full-time. So they were budgeted in part-time, but they're now getting paid out of full-time.
Okay.
So.
I have one other question, David. And on page 8, and under, I know all our donations are far below the budget, but under donations, library, there's a negative $1,105. Curious how we ended up with a negative donation.
That's Richardson, the Richardson Trust. And I think we're given an estimate of what we're going to get. We have no control over what we get. It's an interest kind of thing. And so we probably budgeted 12,000. We did budget 12,000, but we actually only got 11,105.
Well, I think
isn't that Richardson?
Yes, but I think the question is why do we have a negative in the month?
October,
so what that, I can follow up on that.
Wait a minute, maybe I'm on the wrong one.
What is typical for us to do is we try to put revenue in the right month when it's intended for. And so there is, that could have been revenue that was intended for the prior fiscal year and moved into the prior fiscal year. We're still in our accrual period. I can follow up on that, give you confirmation.
Maybe we haven't gotten the Richardson money yet.
But we're moving something out.
Yeah, right. I realize that. So yeah.
Or either it was given back, or so. You know, it's a small amount. I was just
good question.
Curious, it's a good question.
I thought we got in 11,000.
Do you have any other questions?
No.
I have one question about the when we had the Y rating at the end of last year, when we were looking at smoothing out the positions and providing, I think, continuation of some of the benefits and wages. When was that going to extend out to?
It goes to December 31st.
Okay.
Both OE3 and SEIU have asked to meet and confer over the issue. There was a meeting today with HR. I haven't heard the results of that yet.
That was my. I just wondered, where is that shown in the budget in terms of those? Is it under the personnel services under special vacation pay, special sick pay?
No, I believe it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's probably built into...
Existing.
For those people that get wages, it's built into the regular full-time budget, and it's built into the benefits line.
Because some of the employees went from regular full-time to part-time, but we were extending out their benefits.
Their benefits will be reflected in the benefit lines.
Okay, but not in the regular part-time.
Not in the regular
part-time. Okay, that was my only question.
So there actually will probably, depending on the results of those meet and confers, we'll probably be having closed session of the January meeting to talk about labor negotiations.
Okay. Did you have any questions?
Yeah, I had some clarifications, I think. On page 9, what I was looking for was just big dollar items that I didn't understand. And the second line item is other professional and technical services. And it's $168,000 line item.
Facilities master plan. Master plan is
$100,000 of that. Okay, so the year-to-date encumbrance number then is money that's been allocated for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's other things in there too, but $100,000 of it is the facilities master plan.
Okay. And then financial services about a third of the way down, $70,000 outside. Year-to-date expenditures on that one is $134,000, so we almost doubled the. So the financial services outside?
The same.
That's the city's.
Oh, the first one.
That's the city of Santa Cruz.
Oh, that's our tax to the city of Santa Cruz?
Yeah, that's our cost for HR and admin and finance.
Got it.
Yes.
And finance.
So yes. The, okay.
That's the, yeah, 5.5% administrative.
Then on the next page, library functional supplies. $188,000 appropriation, and it looks like we're only 6%.
That's related to the CLS function, the shelf-ready cataloging, where we'll be paying $3 an item.
Mm-hmm.
That will come out of there. We expected that to have started earlier. We're December 18th, we're sending our first test orders. So
are we going to wind up way underspending that account? Is that the way it works?
Possibly.
Piggy
bank. Yeah, that's an item that we struggle with every year because we keep changing. The kinds of things that come out of it stay the same, but it changes, and so we have like CLS, the shelf ready piece.
The library closes.
So we don't know what to budget for it. So.
The photocopy of the internet printer will be turned off in 5 minutes.
Okay. There's no other questions. The next item was the update on the reserve policy.
This was requested by somebody. I don't remember who. So I'll throw it back to you. I wanted to understand the cash reserve that we had established.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the background on it. Basically, April 2011, the service models that cash reserves would reach 6.8% of revenues or $795,000 by 2015-16. Because we know what our revenues would be, but our estimated revenues. And so, looked at the compromise model and the projections, and then there was the whole issue with the fund balance policy, which Jack walked us through. So the term cash reserves doesn't really exist, but in the board's mind, funds considered cash reserves are included in the operating budget, and we have reached it. The long-term goal of 10% is $1.13 million has also been achieved, and the cash on hand for July was about $1.6 million. So there isn't really a cash reserves account. Sure what the question was that I was trying to answer, but I was giving the background on how we got.
It sounded like the board at the time had a question about what was our target that we were shooting for, so I think just refreshing them that it was 6.8% of our budget, or 800,000 by 15-16.
Didn't that originate, the discussion originated here, right? We were asking about the reserves, or was this a board?
I think it was at the board.
At the board meeting.
Okay, if that's the case, maybe in summary, if this comes back, we'll provide a little bit more background on the context. Who requested it?
I think it was Ellen.
Oh, okay.
So Ellen and Catherine both talked about it.
At the last, was this at the last?
No, it was at the November meeting, but I couldn't get to it in time for the December meeting.
Maybe give them a call and give her an update as far as we have it, because I mean, if anything, send her a copy. Is she copied on the agenda reports?
Yes.
From them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Catherine got it. Catherine and Ellen both got it.
The worthwhile future discussion, I think, after the IT master plan, the facility master plan are done, of targeting what type of reserves you might want to have in place in a different categorization that we can actually build into the financial statements that you might want to start carving out of facility or future facility reserve that would allow you to buy some time.
Because the capital projects fund was also deleted when we did that fund balance plan. So I can put this report in the January packet as just written communication if you want, just so it's there. I don't know what you want to do with it.
Well, I think if this was requested at the last board meeting in November and there was some discussion about it, maybe have it in the summary, just describe a little bit about the nature of the request and provide it as information to the full board. Do you recall the conversation, Sam?
Yeah, generally, I think that there was and I didn't remember if it was Ellen, but somebody was inquiring about said that fund balances would be designated under one of those four categories, one, two, three, four, five, or no, I'm not sure. But,
one, two, three, four, five, yeah.
Yeah, and, but this cash reserve that we have is not any of these.
It's just, it's unassigned.
But so it's unassigned. It comes under the category unassigned.
Yeah, from finance, we can have it from a financial perspective. Government agencies were hands are kind of tied around their hands between different categorizations of you can only really reserve something if it's externally reserved, and if it's something that's, that you as a board can change, then we're just going to call it committed. You can't use this word reserved anymore. So there's just a kind of a different technical description of it that's uniform to all financial statements.
Do you want me to add a line that, quote, cash reserves are part of unassigned as part of the operating fund?
Yeah, I think that would just kind of close the loop. We pass this policy, but so which one of these does this money fall into?
You can go as high as committed, as board level.
As high as committed.
But at this point, they're unassigned as part of the operating budget.
Right, which begs the question, should the board consider committing it?
Yes.
I said the whole purpose is to kind of set it aside for a rainy day, and that we don't want anyone feeling that they can just go and grab it. So, which seems like that would be the next step, is really making some formal action to be committed. And for how much?
The library is closing.
Since your dashboard has the cash line on it, does it make sense to not only do the ratio that you're doing, but also report that cash line as a percent of revenue, which
sure.
is the metric that's specified in this
yeah,
motion.
In the service model.
Yeah. It's a way, just be a way of keeping that number in front of us.
That's total budgeted revenue. Project out for the year.
Yeah, I guess that's how it was, that's how it was established. And again, use it as a maybe as a percent of that target. So if the target was 6.8%, and we're actually at 12% or whatever it is, then it's a 2x target. So you could make another financial ratio.
Thank you.
Yeah, the ultimate goal was to be the.
That was probably 2015 or
10%.
10% for the goal, 6.8% in 2015-16, and 10% in following years.
Okay. So we're way ahead of schedule.
So do you want submit this as an information only item? Then are you wanting to do some committing? Or are you not ready, or do we want to wait until after all the plans are in and we?
I look at this as being informational only.
Yeah,
it was
this is informational. I think you should be prepared, because to me that's what that having all this information kind of raises the question of, well, which one of these is this? And if it's unassigned, maybe you should just say these funds are
come
under the category of unassigned, and just then see where it goes.
It could lead to other recommendations from the board.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it could or. And maybe the committee wants to maybe think about that and whether that reserve could be committed.
Committed implies that there's a budgeted, let me turn it as a question. Does using that word committed mean that there is a budgeted application for those funds?
I don't.
From an accounting perspective, it just means that the board has restricted this for a purpose.
Right. That's what I get. You don't have to define that purpose, but saying,
okay.
I mean, this, I think it's truly meant to be a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's set aside for rainy day purposes.
So
we're about to be faced with both facilities and IT.
Yeah. But those aren't separate.
The cost of the studies, but the implications, the recommendations, they can come back and say we need to spend $18 million on it.
Well, we will, but this money should be committed before that happens. which create, I mean, it does create some strategic and then, you know, political movements to try to find the best way to, if you're going to float a bond, and, you know, how do you do that? And people looking at this and saying, you got $1.6 million, why do we need this to come? And so then you can clearly explain, no, that these are reserves that have been formally set aside and they can't be used for any of these facility IT projects. So I think that those, I mean, that's kind of leading into maybe how to best get the facilities projects funded.
And I will tell you that the 795 by 2015-16 was a compromise. Because originally it was to try to reach $1 million in 5 years, and then we just couldn't make it. We were trying to make the numbers work, and in order to make the numbers work, we lowered our expectations on that particular item. So,
okay, any other discussion on this? So it'll come back as an informational item to the board, just in response.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is other business, a vice chair election. So I guess we're looking for a motion for someone to be the vice chair. Can I make a motion?
Board, the chair doesn't usually make a motion.
No. Did you want to make a motion?
I don't know if it's prohibited.
Vice chair of what?
This committee.
Oh, this committee. We need to have a vice chair.
Correct. Do
the chair.
Yeah, but I think there's a vice chair, request of the vice chair.
Well, there is.
It's like if I'm not here, I apparently.
You want
someone
the vice chair. You'd be I nominate it.
Okay, I'll second that.
I'm willing.
Great.
As long as I get some good coaching.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You get to vote. You
no,
can vote no.
Yeah, you're in. You can't. And you
won't do you any good, but you can vote no.
But now you can't make a motion to rescind that. So it was unanimous. So now moving on to the written communications.
You had asked, I believe, also back in
last month
or October, the end of October, maybe for to get a. An outline of all the different trust funds, and I just couldn't get to it before I left, so here it is.
And
this is what we've been kind of keeping on each of them, so if there's any other information that you would like to have that's not here, let me know, but I believe it's up to date.
How do we evidence that the what we're spending, what we've spent out of each of these on, I don't know, it's tracked on, is it tracked on a monthly basis or?
Yeah, the trust funds themselves show up as one of the reports, mm-hmm. and that's what's sitting in the trust fund. And then the board, when we want to use some of that money, that's you pass a resolution to use the money, to allocate the money, and then I'm not sure then where it shows up in the monthly expenditures. That's actually a question I have had.
It's commingled on the as a cash line item, but it's accounted for in different funds within the accounting structure. So what you're saying is that are the operating accounts. If we don't have a lot of activity, revenue expenditure, we can generate those. That's not.
So if we allocate, like they allocated the $11,000 from the James Morley Trust, basically allocate all that money so we can spend it on the South Beach. It doesn't really show, we haven't spent any of it yet, so it's just sitting in an appropriation line, right?
If somebody wanted to hold our feet to the fire and say, how have you spent monies from these trusts? What have they been spent on? Is there a way to look at that?
Yes, we create projects, don't we?
We create projects, we track it on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
on page 6, there's an asset equities schedule that identifies each of those funds. And above each one is a unique number, 931, 932, 933. Those are unique fund numbers within our accounting structure. So there's a whole fund that's just 931 transactions for Catskill. So, yes.
Yeah.
There's multiple ways to get this data.
We do it with project, and you can also do it by fund.
Any questions?
I would say McCaskill's the only one that's really getting spent a little bit each month because they're using it for materials. The others are usually big expenditures.
And is Richardson being used? The way I've read the information here, it was supposed to be used for nonfiction books and not to include yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like the statement said that $10,000 a year was being put into book purchases. Are there strings attached to those book purchases so that...
Yes, staff knows not to what they can and can't spend it on. Okay. Yes, they track that.
And Whale and Trust funds are being used to defray costs associated with Felton Library Branch Planning?
Yes, for the lot split.
Okay.
I have two questions. Have we ever looked at the McCaskill Trust to initiate a project for local history? Because I know that some of the Researchers Anonymous use the archives to do research on projects and to kind of encourage maybe a particular subject, research on either the area or a particular historical.
We're going to, we were under the impression until we then looked at the trust documents that we could only spend the interest. And it wasn't until a couple of months ago that we realized that we could actually spend the principal. So as part of that plan that I want staff to put together about how to deal with our local history collection, because that, if you read that preservation assessment, we have a lot of deficiencies in terms of the care of our local history materials. If we have a disaster, that collection's gone. So based on facilities master plan, what comes out of that, I want the local history staff to come up with a plan of what they feel they want to do regarding the collection, and then we could access McCaskill funds for it. For example, if the decision is made that we're going to go out for a bond and we're going to build XYZ libraries, the downtown library is one of those, maybe into that plan we want to build a special room to house these materials, McCaskill funds could be used as part of that building project. And that may be what the board decides to do, or maybe you want to buy microfilm machines, or maybe we want to, but I want to put a whole comprehensive plan together on how to deal with it rather than kind of just piecemeal at it, and as well as staff resources. I mean, taking on additional projects can be, we're short staffed.
And the other question was for the trust for visually impaired. It also shows that we could spend this in any way that benefits the visually impaired.
Yes.
It's not limited to purchase of braille materials. I don't know how often you use this.
A lot.
Oh, you do? Oh,
that's
okay.
How we started the Playaway collection. That's how we buy a lot of the Playaways.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the books on tape have been bought with visual impaired money.
There's no questions.
Yeah, that saved us during those lean years we had there from 09 to about 2011. The only money we had to spend on materials was we spent a lot of money.
Is there any sense of how many library patrons are visually impaired? Is it a population, a subpopulation?
I have nothing. So we try to get things that can benefit that population, as like the audiobooks benefit that population as well as many others. So.
Okay, so then the last item is B, library sales tax and property tax revenue.
Oh, yeah, I've got a whole agenda.
I don't know if there's any questions on it. There's an attachment.
Yeah,
the county just sent an update. We'll see.
It was in the board packet as well.
Yeah,
sales tax does get a little.
Yeah.
Property tax is slightly below and under based on the projections.
Okay.
In the end, they think they'll net to be a strong positive.
Okay, so the final item is that our next meeting is going to be Tuesday, January 29th at 6:30. And I have to check. That doesn't conflict with anything else, does it?
I should not conflict. I don't believe it comes. I thought we double checked all that.
Okay.
Although the city council meets the
second
and fourth, and that would be a fifth Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So mark
but
the calendars.
But they're meeting the 15th isn't off.
They're meeting the 18th and 22nd. It's just
Oh, the 15th, the 22nd, or the two in a row. Okay. Neither meeting the 15th, so.
That's an awful one.
That's the awful one.
The 22nd.
Okay, so if there's no other questions, meeting's adjourned.
Yeah.
Thanks.